What you see there simply is a chain hanging, and it has two pieces of paper with a message. The top message says Christ-likeness. At the bottom link says you, your spiritual journey. So I ask you a question this morning. How strong is the chain? How strong is the chain? Forget that it's attached to rope. So okay. And there's a pulley or just an eyelet in the ceiling. But if we were to just take the chain, how strong is the chain? How strong is the chain? What would you do to determine the strength of the chain? You know, there's the cliche saying that a chain is only as strong as the weakest link. All right? So if that chain is only as strong as the weakest link, how do you determine what the weak link is? How do you test it? Pull on it. Very good. You have to put a load on it. You have to give it something to do. This chain's been laying in my garage for, and I don't even know where it came from, but a long time. I think I've used it once before in an illustration. But that chain is doing no good for me. I haven't tested it. I haven't used it. It just laid on the floor in the garage. But to really test that chain, to find out how good that chain is, I would have to take it and put a load on it. Maybe, Keith, we'd use this chain a couple years ago when we tried to pull the lilac bushes out. And it was strong enough to pull the bumper off the front of my truck. But anyway. So a chain of life. This is your spiritual journey. This is you. This is you. This is your spiritual journey. And I would say in honesty, and this is what church is all about. We don't lie to each other in church. So honestly speaking, all of us in our spiritual journey have weak links. Things that the Holy Spirit is working on us to become stronger in. And I will say to you, as we said last week, talking about being ambassadors of Christ, we have areas of life that we talk to God, we pray to God, we read His Scripture, and we let Him speak to us. And as disciples of Christ, we must accept with humble hearts the truth. The truth is that we're not perfect. And again, I will say to you this morning with all honesty and clarity that I want you to hear my voice. If you think you're perfect, go look in the mirror. Go have a heart-to-heart conversation with a friend. I have friends in the community who will sit down with me and they will challenge me to tell them. Talk to me. They'll say, talk to me. Tell me, tell me, tell me. It's a heart-cleansing thing to sit down with somebody and to have that kind of a conversation. But as disciples of Christ, I believe, I accept the fact that I am not perfect. And as your pastor, I don't want you to look at me as being perfect. I'm not. I do have weak links in my chain. So where are you? What are your weak links in your chain? If you go to Paul's writing in the church at Galatia, you'll find that he gives a list, and he calls it the list of sin. And in that list, he has things like anger. Do you deal with anger? That would be a weak link in your spiritual journey. Gossip is a big one. The area of gossip is a huge weak link in your spiritual journey. Hatred is a weak link in your spiritual journey. Do you just hate people, certain people you just don't like? And maybe you could justify that and say, well, there are some people in this world who are just worthy of hatred. Okay, we had that conversation this morning with Jeremy. Yeah, that's inside of us, but that's not what God wants for us. He would say, no, that we are to love. You could put the Ten Commandments on that list of a weak link. Where are you strong? Where are you weak? We often pull ourselves to our strength. I am strong in these areas, and that's good. But if you know of any athletes, any people that are perfectionists or working, they will not work on what they're good at because they know they're already good at it. Why should they keep doing that? If they want to become better, they want to be a golfer, let's pick on golfers, they will pick the thing that they are the worst at. They know they have to get better at that to become a better golfer. Life, our spiritual journey, is the same way. And we listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit will tell us, will help us and guide us to what would be a weak link in your spiritual journey. And when you hear that voice, when you know that, that's the area that God is talking to you about working on. And sometimes it's just by faith, it's just obedience to that voice. Moses was encountered by God in the wilderness, the story from Genesis. What did Moses say? He says, I can't do that. I can't talk. I can't. Moses went right to his weak link. He knew what his weak link was, but he wasn't willing in that moment to yield to God. And God had more to say to him. God said, I know that you're weak, but Moses, I'm strong. I'll give you the words to say. Moses, in your weakness, I can make you strong. The story of Gideon in the Old Testament, again, is a similar story where the angel, God visits Gideon and wants Gideon to go fight a battle. And Gideon says, wait a minute, you don't know who you're talking to. I'm the least of my family, which is the least in the tribe. And my tribe is the least of the 12 of Israel. You've got the wrong person if you're looking for a warrior. You're looking for somebody to fight a battle. And God says, Gideon, I know. I know you can't. But Gideon, I want you to, by faith, know that I can. And so when God says that He can, we must follow suit. The heart and will of a disciple of Christ is always positive. I'm going to say that again. If you want to write something down on the back of your bulletin, write that down. The heart and will of a disciple of Christ is always positive. Always, always. The little engine that could, I think I can, needs to be, God, I know you can. God, I know you can. God, I know you can. God knows that you can't, and you know that you can't. But Scripture would tell us that God is the power in our life. God is our power source. In my own strength and ability, I cannot. But leaning on the Holy Spirit, listening to God speak to me, listening to God give me direction in my life, I can take a weak link. He will take the weak link that I give to Him, and He will make me strong. Last week we talked about the seven values, and I put those in your bulletin for you this morning and gave you the scripture references. Take a look at those. Take a look at those. Do you believe? Are you positive when you read those? Do you believe what Paul said in Scripture, that I can do all things through Him who gives me strength? What are the things that you would put in front of God and say, I can't do that? Now, physically, we know there are some things that we just can't do. We're just not strong enough. We're not tall enough. We're whatever. But in the spiritual realm, I will challenge you to say that there shouldn't be, and I say this cautiously, but I believe that Scripture would say that I'm okay with telling you there isn't anything we should put before God that He's telling us to do. We can't put it back to Him and say, no, I can't. No, I won't. The heart and will of a disciple of Christ is to always, always be positive when you're listening to the voice of God. God tells you to do something, you better do it. You better do it. I think about the story of Samson, the strong guy in the Old Testament. And he ignored God. He was a follower for a while, and then he went off and, well, frankly, he chased women. All right? And so his life, in chasing women, his life deteriorated. All right? That just, there it is. It's in Scripture. Only chase one. If you're chasing women, chase one. Don't go for a bunch. You'll get in trouble. Anyway. Samson's life deteriorated to the point of his disobedience, ignoring the voice of God. Now listen to this. It's in Scripture. It's one of the, for me, one of the saddest passages of Scripture that the Bible has. It says that Samson ignored the voice of God to the point that the Spirit of God left Samson, and he knew it not. What a place to be in life. What a place to be in life. You want to ignore the voice of God? God gives us free will, gives us choice. You can ignore the voice of God. But be careful in ignoring the voice of God, because it'll take you to places that you don't want to be. The voice of God, you hear the voice of God speaking to you. A disciple of Christ, when hearing the voice of God, is always, always positive. One of the value statements says that we must communicate, that we are to communicate the word to our community. I read for you the little statement, to know God, to know Christ, and make him known to others. Number one, value the souls of the lost. Well, how am I to show that? I would show that because I will communicate then the love of Christ to those that I know who don't know Christ. That means that in communicating, there are two aspects of communicating. Number one is by word. I tell you my spiritual journey story, you tell me yours, we communicate, we have dialogue back and forth. I tell you the love of Christ. I tell you that in following Christ, I will never be the same again. Following him has had that impact on my life. I know that I can never ignore it. It's there for me. So we must communicate. We must use words, or we must use actions to communicate Christ's love. And in my thinking, I went right to the salt and light passage in Matthew chapter 5. Salt and light. If I had a salt shaker here and I had some vegetables that I wanted to season, I have to take that salt shaker, pick it up, and do something with it for the salt to get onto the vegetables or whatever it is you want to season, right? So that's an action. That salt has to allow somebody, me, to pick it up and to shake it to have its good. I would say that's a great visual of us following Christ. He tells us, he wants us to do something. He wants us to say something to somebody. He wants us to fellowship. I must allow him to pick me up and shake me out where he wants to shake me out. And again, I can say, go back to Scripture, and you can say, well, no, don't touch me. Don't touch me. He'll let you be there. He'll leave you alone. He'll go find another salt shaker that's willing to be picked up and shaken. So to be a salt, to be the salt of the world, means that I'm going to yield to God. Do with me what you want. And then the other passage, a piece of that that Jesus is teaching, is salt and light of the world. Light. Light. What does light do? It's quiet. That candle hasn't made a noise yet this morning. Now, if the humidity were high or there's moisture, that you might hear a little, sputter. A candle will do that from time to time. But this is pretty passive, isn't it? If we could make this room absolutely dark, and I have that candle in my hand, it would light just maybe a 3-4 foot circle around me, maybe a little bit far beyond that. But a candle's light is quite limited. But then I would also say to you that if we could make the world, the outside world, dark, 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 and you're that candle, and you stand outside, even though that illuminates the area that you're in, you feel safe, you can walk, because you'll see the dangers of the world. But yet I will say to you that somebody probably 300 yards away from you will be able to see the flicker of that little candle and know that there's light. They will know that there's light, there's help. There's somebody there holding a candle, and they will be drawn to the light. Both the salt shaker and the candle surrender for the greater good of those that they impact. What happens to that candle? How often do you have to replace that candle, Roger? Yeah. A candle gives of itself. The wick is burned. The wax is there to slow down that process. But that candle is being used. It's being used up. It needs to be replaced. It needs to be replenished. The salt shaker, you can run out of salt and you need to put more in. That's staying connected to the family, the body of Christ, staying connected to His Word, allowing His Holy Spirit to continually fill you up so that He can use you as He wants to use you. Fellowship. It's another one of those key elements of communicating the Word. If I want to share the gospel message with somebody, which is what God calls us to do, I must be willing to fellowship with somebody. If I just sat in my office this morning, locked the door, there would be nobody to communicate the message with you this morning. I have to allow myself to come out into fellowship. To communicate, I need to fellowship with you. The other day, Corey and I went to Perkins. And we fellowshiped together. There was communication. Visiting with Lorraine, Abby's mom. There's fellowship, there's communication. You have to fellowship to communicate. While Corey and I were sitting at Perkins, Sean and Jeff walked in. Okay? They went there to have a little fellowship. They were going to communicate about life, about God's love for them. Disciples of Christ, understanding that He's calling us to disciple the world, to share the love of Christ. He's calling us to fellowship. We navigate through life by faith. By faith. And that's a huge word. It's a big word. It's a deep word. We navigate through life by faith. Faith in God says, I believe I can. I believe I can. I know I can because God can. That's faith. That's faith. My mind is jumping to all kinds of areas of that element of faith, even in my life. Faith in God says, I believe I can, I believe I can, I know I can, because God can. Again, I know that in many elements of life, I can't. There are things of this chain of my spiritual journey that I've had to go before God and say, God, I just can't do that. And maybe there have even been times in my life where I've been so bold as to say, God, I won't do that. But God in His love and His care for me has come back to me and said, no, you can do this. I want you to do this. Will you do this? And then I yield to Him and I go like, wow, God. By faith, we step out of our comfort zone and we do what God wants to do. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't fix your eyes on what you see in the mirror. Don't fix your eyes on what you think you are capable of doing. Because without God's help, we're all helpless. But the writer of Hebrews would tell us to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Wow. Faith. When was the last time you used the element of faith? Or do we go through life just knowing I can do this, knowing I can do that, and then we're very comfortable? Faith, again, I will say, living a life of faith makes you very uncomfortable. Because you're always living on the edge. You're living on the edge of God challenging you to do something. In the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm that you're uncomfortable with, but you know He is saying, hey, you can do this. I'm with you. I'm with you. I can talk myself out of doing just about anything and talk to Cynthia, and she would probably say, yep. Believe Him. He's right. Because we can. Aren't we good at that? Are you good at that? Confession time. Are you good at that? Talking yourself out of doing something that you know that you should do. Absolutely. And I've shared with you in my chaplain work, there are times that I've sat in my truck in front of a business and saying, God, You know, there are a thousand other things I'd rather be doing right now. But you want me to go in here? Okay. By faith, you give of that and you go do. And then it is amazing. Often I come back to my truck and I sit there and I go like, wow, God, you knew what was ahead for me. I didn't. I could have missed out on that blessing. I could have missed out on God allowing me to be a blessing to somebody else if I'd have just ignored what He wanted me to do. Again, let me be so bold as to say that a disciple living by faith will say yes to God. So I ask you, how's your faith in God? Not in yourself. Not in yourself. But how's your faith in God? In your spiritual journey, where is your faith the weakest? And you need to know that Scripture tells us that in our weakness, God makes us strong. Confessing that weakness is a great psychological mind transformation thing. When you say, yep, I'm weak in that area, you've just confessed it. You've just made it known to those that are around you. And then only then will the Holy Spirit come and help you then become strong in that area. Where is your faith the weakest? What is your weakest link? Is it gossip? Is it gossip? Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe you just compare yourself to people all the time and you feel either inadequate or you feel puffed up. You are prideful. That's not being Christ-like. That would be a weak link in your spiritual journey. Well, we're here this morning to tell God and let Him to give you and me insight and strength on our spiritual journey. Confession is good for the soul. That's a cliche, but it's in Scripture that we must confess our sins, confess our needs one to another. I would say, editorially, we don't do a very good job of that in the church because we're prideful. We're prideful. I don't want you to know where I'm weak. I can tell God, and God knows. But Scripture also then tells us that we need to confess our sins one to another. And when you do that and you confess your sins to somebody, you confess your weakness, your sin to God, expect, anticipate change. He's going to change you. He's going to work on you. It may not be easy. It may be easy, but it may not be easy. God's going to change you. What's your weakest link? Faith? Maybe it's something as simple as language. You just have a potty mouth. Okay? Confess that. Let God help you. Clean that up. There are lots of things that we can make that are weak links, and you know what your weak link is. Pray to God and say, God, show me. We sing a song, change my heart, O God, make it ever new. Change my heart, O God, and make it more like You. There are songs like that that speak to me, or the song, many songs, Scripture. And I think about the statement that I've given to you on several occasions. The Christians don't believe in lying until they come to church and sing a song. Oof. That's a checkpoint. I can sing a song like, change my heart, O God, make it ever new. Change my heart, O God, and make it more like You. Am I willing to accept the change that I'm praying for? Wow. Am I willing to confess and admit to Him that I have a weak link in my life, my spiritual journey? Do I really want to be able to say that I will never be the same again? Because I've yielded my life to Him? Wow. There are three responses. One is we can cover it up, sort of like putting lipstick on a pig. We could try to cover it up. It really doesn't. No, you know, I'm really not. Don't have that attitude of anger. And we can excuse it to death. We can try to cover it up. I was justified. I was justified in my anger with that person. I was justified. Take that to God. So we try to cover it up. We try to put lipstick on it. We try to rationalize it and justify it in the human realm versus allowing our spirits and our souls to be bare before God and say, God, look at me. Change my heart, O God. So number one response would be to cover it up. Number two would be to take pride in it. Yep, that's me. Get used to it. That's just me. Whew. Pride is not a good thing. It's one of the evils. It's one of the sins. A prideful heart. So don't take pride in a spiritual weakness in your life. Don't do that. Don't bow into that. Don't give into that. It's not good for you. It's not good for your soul. Don't take pride in a weak link in your life. The third response is really the only response that God challenges us, wants for us, lays out before us, and that is to confess your weakness and let God change you. Let God change you. So as I've spoken to you this morning, as God has spoken to you this morning, what's your weak link? What's your weak link? Where is it? Are you willing, you're ready to confess it before God? Are you willing to confess it and then expect and anticipate change in your life? Wow. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. What is your spiritual weakness? Do you have a spiritual weakness? I made the statement earlier that we all have spiritual weaknesses because none of us are perfect. We may be perfect in coming before God and knowing that God is our Lord and Savior, but in the element of living life, there are challenges before us that we will either run from or we will take them and run to God with them. What's your spiritual weakness? What is God saying to you this morning? I'm going to confess one to you. And I want you to pray. You can pray for me. All right? Because I'm going to pray for you if you confess this morning. And now I have the choice of which one to pick. I know that in my spiritual journey, in my walk, that I'll never be the same again. Almost 10 years ago, I became your pastor. I will confess to you that one of the elements of faith that I struggle with is truly understanding why God would do that to me, to Cynthia. The aspect of being a spiritual leader for you scares me. Because I know who I am and I feel so inadequate. So I ask you, as the body of Christ, to pray for me. I pray for you. Where are you at in your spiritual journey? What's your weakness? What are you running from God? Where are you running from God? Where do you think you're going to end up? I don't have any place to go. I'm not looking for a place to go. People come to me and they say, well, how long have you been at the Nazarene Church? And I say, well, whatever. Oh, my. Are you looking for something? No. Don't go there. God's called me here. So by faith, I have that. Until God releases me from that, I'm... So you pray for me. In the realm of being your spiritual leader, I confess that weakness, that by faith, God, is this really, really? And then I will say to you, and this is really on being honest with you, I look at you and I look at your spiritual growth. And I say, as a spiritual leader, if I'm being obedient to what God calls me to preach and God calls me to teach, I say to God, God, where's the spiritual growth? Where's the spiritual growth? Where's the obedience? In you. Let me just ask you something. How many of you here today who attend Don's Sunday School class think that he's the best teacher you've ever had in your class? Raise your hand. Okay, for the rest of you, we're going to pray. All right. Okay? But listen to me. Listen to me. Then I will also ask you, those of you who have said you have experienced the best teaching, and I don't think there's anybody that's going to argue, you've heard the best there is. He bears his soul and his heart to you every Sunday. So you've experienced the best there is. How many of you have ever invited somebody to join you in that class? Thank you. Again, embracing the call of God to share the word, to share his love for us, can be so simple as to invite somebody to enjoy what you enjoy. How you are being fed. You're being spiritually fed. Do you ever invite anybody to that feast? It was neat to be there this morning and see that you had to go find chairs. You had to find chairs. That's cool. I can't wait for the day that we have to find chairs for this sanctuary. Why? Because you've taken what you've heard, what God is doing in your life, and you can't wait to share it with somebody. To invite them to the feast, the spiritual food that you're eating, you want them to share it as well. You pray for me, I pray for you. If you have a spiritual weakness, you know what it is. I want you to come and stand in front this morning. I want you to come and stand in front of the altar this morning. God has spoken to you this morning. Something has come to your mind. Something has come to your heart. God is speaking to you. And you know that there is a spiritual weakness in your life. I invite you to come and just stand in front of the altar this morning. All right, let's pray. I want you to confess. You tell God whatever he knows. But then I want you to say to him, yes, God, change my heart. Cleanse my heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Change me. Change me. Father, this morning there is a whole bunch of honesty here in the sanctuary. We know that we're human. We know that we're weak. We know that spiritual weakness is why we come to you. That in this life, the spiritual journey that we are on, there are things that we run into, new things each and every day that challenge us on the spiritual walk with you. Our obedience to you is challenged. By disobedience, by sin, by bad attitudes, And so, Father, this morning we confess to you and we ask that you would cleanse us, that you would create in us that clean heart. Take that weakness that we confess, help us to work on it, let your Holy Spirit work on it through us, so that we become strong in that area, so that you can take that element of gossip and just wipe it away. And yes, when I am on the phone and having conversation with somebody or having a cup of coffee with somebody, I'm going to have to bite my tongue. But your scripture tells us that you will do that for us. You will help me bite my tongue. Or if it comes to attitudes of jealousy or hatred or lust or just the whole ramet of issues that Paul gives to us in Galatians chapter 5. The sin. Let us confess to you. Make us strong. Help us to be obedient this day to show the love of Christ. Jeremy gave the example this morning of standing in line. He knew of a woman who was standing in line at Cub. She had a few items. She was doing a good deed for somebody. She asked the person in front of her if she could just go first, because her need was great, and so was the whole issue. And the person turned to her and said, "No, you can wait." Father, if that would ever happen to us, let us show the love of Christ. Let us step aside. Let us put others first. Whether standing in line at the grocery store, sitting at a stop sign, or just having conversation, let us put you first. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your scripture, the way you've spoken it to us today. We give ourselves to you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever new. Change my heart, O God, and make it more like you. Thank you, God, for speaking to us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being humble this morning.